Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time has just gone 5 minutes past nine. I'm Kathy Kaler, and this is the Dis-Chem Foundation Show. Thank you so much for joining me. It is really a privilege to speak to you every second week as we do. And joining me this morning is Jacqueline Kohlberg from the Dis-Chem Foundation. Morning, Jax.
How are you? Good morning, Kath. Well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And joining both of us is Deborah van Dongen. And Deborah is from Hearts of Hope. We're going to be talking about Hearts of Hope. You know, every week I speak to Jax and to Jacqueline, and especially when we do these shows, I'm learning more about the socioeconomic challenges of South Africa and the socioeconomic realities of our country through the Dis-Chem Foundation than I would by anything online and any information. This is on the ground, and every week I leave so inspired by the good that is being done in our country by the private sector. And ultimately by you, because the more you shop at Dis-Chem, the more money gets put into the foundation. But that's not the reason that they do it. I had to beg Dis-Chem to do this show. I said, you're doing all this amazing work. People need to know. People need to get involved. So that is how the discussion. Yeah, you're smiling, Jacqueline. How long did it take? How many months? It took almost a year.
Ever so long.
It took almost a year, and most people capitulate to me very quickly, but not, no. Okay. No, we just do it because we do it. All right, so let me tell you what we're talking about. I mean, a big focus, we have focused on, you know, community to career. That was 2 weeks ago we were talking about Dis-Chem's focus on community to career, but what about early childhood centres? I didn't know this, that South Africa's population is one of the youngest in the world. One in three people is under the age of 35, and you are technically, the definition of youth is up until the age of 35. So that's why we possibly have the oldest youth league in the country, but let's not talk about that. All right. But the truth is that children are our future. And I know it sounds like such a throwaway phrase, but when did we stop planting trees for future generations to have fruit? When did it become a reverse cycle? When it feels like we aren't really doing that. And then learn about what Dis-Chem Foundation is doing and what Hearts of Hope are doing. So we're going to be talking about that. So children's homes play a critical role in South Africa as we have a degeneration of the socioeconomic realities in the country. We're going to see the need for more homes. Okay, you know what? I'm actually going to hand it over to Deborah. Thank you so much, Deb.
Thank you.
First, I want to talk about the Hearts of Hope. What is Hearts of Hope?
So Hearts of Hope started as a organization focused on children. And in 2003, we registered formally as a response to the HIV crisis. If you remember back in those days.
Oh, my God, the child-headed households.
Exactly. And we were a group of friends volunteering at a children's home near the city center. And one of the things that was startling was the children had no access to treatment. The government hadn't started the antiretroviral rollout program yet. And the children that we were looking after in the children's home were dying of HIV and AIDS. And a death by AIDS is a terrible death for anyone and for a child particularly. So we got to the point where we couldn't do nothing and managed to secure funding and purchased a house in Wendywood in Johannesburg, just near Sandton. And from there started off with six children that we looked after, with the intention being that six children were who we could look after from an antiretroviral point of view. Fortunately, the government then rolled out the antiretroviral program, which has been just phenomenal. And has saved so many lives. And so since those days, we've looked after 306 children have passed through our doors who've gone on to new lives and new opportunities with healthcare, nutrition, and love in a safe environment.
socioeconomic realities. It's not just HIV. I mean, the fact that it's not being promoted, that you have to protect yourself. Mm. And it's across the board. This HIV does not distinguish between, you know, poverty lines or affluence. You know, you can live the most ostentatious life and still have HIV. Exactly. It doesn't define. It's not selective.
It's not 100%. Discriminatory.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. It is a huge worry. Are you seeing a lot of those kids, or was that just really the seed? You know, child-headed households. It just feels like we're heading back there. Mm.
So that was the seed, and we're kind of 23 years later. And as you know, there was a lot of funding cuts in terms of medication and access to treatment.
Yes.
So our probably one of our biggest fears is, are we going to turn the tide again and be in that position? And for the first time in probably 3 years, we were asked to take in another HIV-positive child. So I think, unfortunately, from an HIV point of view, things are changing again. But socioeconomically, you know, when we started the children's home, we really thought it would be a short-term thing. We did not for 1 minute imagine that 23 years later we would still be going. And the intention for every children's home, and they're now called child and youth care center, is to not exist, and we wish we didn't have to exist. And so, but the reality is that we do these. We are the last stop for children who have nowhere else to go.
What ages do you cater for?
So we look after children from birth to 18. As you know, children who potentially spend a long time in our center don't. You can't kick them out at 18. So we have a post-care program until they're 21 or independent and educated and able to be financially independent, like we would with our own children. But we take children from birth.
Sure, and those children are coming because either they were abandoned babies, is it part of the adoption system?
So both. We take the children that are placed with us are all placed by the children's court. So they all come with a court order placed with us by external social workers. And they would be either abandoned, removed because of abuse or neglect, given up for adoption, and hopefully we'll be able to go on the adoption register and find an adoptive family. So they all have various reasons as to why they're with us. Unfortunately, in the last 5 years, more and more children are removed because of abuse and neglect due to drug and alcohol abuse. And so I think from an HIV is certainly an issue, but the drug and alcohol abuse scourge in this country is what's driving most of the compromised children's cases.
Well, if people don't have jobs, they sit at home and drink.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we saw that even during the pandemic. Mm. I mean, if anything was an indication and a red flag for us, it was how people behaved when they couldn't have access to alcohol. Mm. It's just, it amazes me how, you know, yourself, you could look at a situation and find a solution. And I wonder if the solutions for South Africa isn't going to come from the people. You know, it's
so
very
I'm
interesting.
Biased, but I think
yes, I know you. I know you're biased. But I think, thank God. So have you followed with those children that you initially started with?
We have. Our first little girl is now 29, and we have our first grandchild. She actually has two children. So she was with us as our first little girl in 2007 at our newest house, and is now an independent mom working. She actually works at our nursery school and doing incredibly well. So when children get adopted, those families choose whether to keep in touch or not. And some do, many don't. And children that have gone back to family or reunited with extended family, also some keep in touch and some don't. So it's fabulous when they do return and say hello.
That's amazing. You say your nursery school, you have your own nursery school?
Yes, we do. We have our own centre, and largely because the children that come to us all have unbelievable trauma. And trauma has a resultant developmental delay on their ability to learn. besides the fact that they are traumatized and need a nurturing, caring, different kind of environment.
And behaviors exactly. Also going to exactly. Have to adjust, yes.
So we run an ECD center for our own children where we have small classes and we're able to fast track them and get them ready for public primary school.
Absolutely incredible. If you've just joined us, my name is Kathy Kaler and this is the DISCAM Foundation Show joining me this morning. You've just been listening to Deborah van Dongen, and joining me also from the DISCAM Foundation is Jacqueline Kohlberg. Jacqueline, okay, I'm going to give you a break, Deborah. we've got to do some ads, but right after that, I want to find out how DISCAM is involved with Hearts of Hope. If you want to get in touch, if you want to send through some messages, if you've got something to say, if you want to get involved, perhaps, do you take volunteers? Do you have
we
volunteers?
Do.
Okay,
yes,
if you, perhaps you want to volunteer, get in touch. And that number is a WhatsApp number. Send a message, send your name to 061-895-1019.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
My name is Kathy Kaler, and this is the DISCAM Foundation Show. You can join me here this time every week. And this week we're actually live. So if you want to send through some messages, perhaps you've got questions for my guests, you can do so. The number is 082-648. No, it's not. Sorry, I was about to give you my number. All right, 061-895-1019. My guest this morning is Jacqueline Kohlberg from the DISCAM Foundation, and I'm seeing the world through her eyes, and every time we do a show, she's showing me more of her world, and it starts off with devastation and it always ends in a very, very inspiring way because of the way that DISCAM Foundation gets involved. And ultimately, it comes down to you, because the more you shop at DISCAM, money goes from that, from your Better Rewards card, it goes to the foundation directly. That is, DISCAM Foundation is a CSI arm, that's a corporate social investment arm of DISCAM, and they do so much good in the world. It took me, almost a year to convince Jacqueline and Lynette and the DISCAM Foundation to do this show, because I just wanted to get on with it and just do it. You have to talk about it because other people want to be involved. So that is how we get here. Now, did you know that nearly one in three South Africans is under the age of 18? We have one of the youngest populations in the world. It's more than 20 million children, and many grow up in challenging circumstances. We've got poverty, we've got neglect, we've got without prenatal care. If you were with us before the ad break, then you would know that the socioeconomic realities of drinking, drug abuse, these are going to have massive impacts on children, not just in their immediate environment, but these are traumas that linger into adulthood. These are people who are going to be running the country one day. And you know what? Let's make their lives healthy and mentally happy. And it's going to, South Africans are amazing people. Let's just carry that through. Every year, thousands of babies and children are placed in care because of abandonment, abuse, or neglect. And over 60% of children in South Africa live below the upper bound poverty line, which puts them at risk of malnutrition, interrupted schooling, even exploitation. Without safe intervention, vulnerable children face trauma, homelessness, and a very uncertain future. So if you were listening, if you've just joined us, let me do a quick summary. Deborah van Dongen, she, along with six other friends, did you say?
There were three of us.
Oh, sorry, three of you many years ago, you found there were six children who were all HIV positive, correct? And they started this home, got a property, started the home, and it has become Hearts of Hope.
That's
which
right.
is just incredible, and the incredible work that you do. So it's basically from the cradle,
yes,
up until early adulthood in the 2021 until they're able to be self-sustaining.
Independent, yeah.
Yes, amazing. I want to talk about nutrition. I want to talk about education. But before anything, I want to talk to Jacqueline Kahlberg from the Dis-Chem Foundation. What is the Dis-Chem Foundation's involvement in Heart of Hope, Jax?
Well, child and youth centers are vital. You know, everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be hugged. Everybody needs a roof over their head. And, you know, we've spoken about homelessness before, and people don't choose to be homeless. They don't choose to be on the streets. And whatever has happened in their life, be it substance abuse or any trauma that they've suffered or mental health issues that they've suffered, take them to the streets. And that becomes sometimes too often a way of life for these people. Children are little. They don't have the voice. They're not making the decisions, however.
They've got no control.
They've got no control. And specifically to speak to Hearts of Hope, it is the most wonderful child and youth center. You know, you go there and, you know, some you go into and they're sad. They're compliant. They're doing what they have to do. There's something about the Hearts of Hope that's just, it's beautiful. It's airy. It's uplifting. It's loving. It's bright. And a lot of the child and youth centers are. This is a particularly special one. And the children are being well nurtured. And, not only are they beneficiaries of ours from the store account side, but we've also, at the hydroponic gardens, we're now able to supply them with nutritional vegetables. And it's wonderful because whenever we drop off, and we're doing a drop off about once a week, I get pictures of what the kids are eating, what's been made for them. So it's kind of a win-win because it's the beauty of seeing our produce going onto plates that are assisting children with nutrition. Having said that, Deborah and the Hearts of Hope always ensure that their children are receiving nutritious meals.
So to be clear, the Dis-Chem Foundation, you've got these hydroponic gardens. They're the beneficiaries of the hydroponic
gardens.
One of the beneficiaries. I mean, those hydroponic gardens,
produce, yeah.
At some point we need to, like, revisit that.
Sure.
Because especially now that it's more established and...
Yeah, we're now going to be rolling them out properly into bucket systems. But I wanted to go back to the children that... The children in, and Deborah will correct me if I'm wrong here, that children in care are much more likely to complete school.
Yes.
Than those that are left in unstable situations. And so many are left in unstable situations because they're on the periphery of neglect or they're being abused, but nobody's reported it and it hasn't come to anybody's attention. And those are the ones that are left behind. And there's nothing we can do about it if it doesn't come through the system and there's no way of knowing. And those are the children that don't complete school. They get into a bad cycle because they're not having the tuition, the love, the care, and the guidance to go forward, to finish school, and to heal emotionally and develop resilience and to be able to thrive academically, socially, mentally.
Incredible. Deborah, how many kids do you cater for?
52 at any one time. So we've always got 52 in our care.
And how does that work? Because you've got so many different age groups.
Yes.
Right, and developmental. The difference between, a 6-year-old and an 11-year-old or even an 8-year-old or 9-year-old is vast in terms of development. So how do you manage that?
So we have 3 different properties, and those properties are then divided into 7 housing units. So we have 2 baby nurseries where we have babies from birth until they're about 14, 15 months. And then they move into the 5 different housing units. And so what we try and do is create an environment as close to family as possible. So our oldest at the moment is 12 years old, and she's been with us since she was 12 weeks old. So she's our big sister, and I always say my left hand and my right arm.
Yes.
In terms of telling us what's going on and looking after children, and she's a great asset to all the house moms. But so within a house, we will then have 7 to 9 children of between 2 years old and 12 years old. Our average age is between 4 and 6 years old, so it's really, really busy. And we have 1 house mom that then looks after those children. We do have a central cooking facility, so we have a chef who prepares and cooks all the food for the houses and the children. And that's largely is to make sure that the moms are not spending all their time cooking, but that they are able to spend nurturing intervention time with the children. So we disperse them over the various houses so they get used to growing up in as close to a normal family as possible.
So interesting, because you know, I'm hearing that you are replacing adoptive families or foster families, right? Hearts of Hope, you those kids are yours until they leave home.
Well, right? We're the first step. So we are before fostering and adoption. So we will get a phone call from a social worker, a hospital, the police. Have you got space? This is the story. A child is abandoned. We need to remove a child very often, which is heartbreaking. Because of the abuse or neglect that they're suffering. And if we have space, so we as a team will then have a quick chat and say, okay, this is the age, this is the circumstance, where can that child best fit? Do we have space? So the one thing that we have learned is that we only do what we can do properly. So we do have three large properties. Could we have more children? Possibly. Can we do more children properly? I don't think so. So our focus is really on depth and not width. It's not a numbers game for us. It's about the depth of individual care that we can give the children.
I can see how you and Dis-Chem have partnered because they play the long game, the Dis-Chem Foundation.
Exactly.
They're in it for the long term and they're in it completely.
Mm.
It's okay, I see it.
I just had a lovely memory that came back to me. I think it was the second. We'd started working with Deborah in the December and I think it was around this time of year because we were busy with our magical sale, which is our baby sale, which is fantastic. And I know parents of newborns and young toddlers love it, and it is actually imminent. So swipe your better rewards card. But where I was going with that is we were very fortunate that my colleague Ronald arranged for all the children to meet Barney, imagine Barney the dinosaur. And they got front row seats to the show. And then they got to go backstage and meet Barney, and the absolute delight. Mm. It was so infectious. It was so wonderful. And afterwards, I said, let's take them all for ice lollies. And some of them were brand new, and they were literally littlies. They're just toddlers, and they'd never had an ice cream before, which is correct. Mm. I don't believe that the child of that age needs to have sugar, and my daughter didn't need or want for it till she was older. And they didn't know what the ice lolly was. And then opening it and watching them lick it and understand it for the first time, and like five licks in, they got it. And it was just it's such a beautiful memory as well. And I just also wanted to say with the HIV pandemic, it is also where grey-headed households started as well. And Nanette did a lot of work with that. And with it on the rise again, that's where we will see the grey-headed and the youth-headed households, God forbid, starting up.
Except that again. Grey-headed generation, there's a huge part that's missing because those were the parents that passed away in the first pandemic.
No, it was the middle generation.
It was the middle generation?
Mm. It was predominantly the middle generation, if I'm not mistaken.
But then COVID, I think, took a lot
COVID
of the older,
took the older,
the grey-headed.
Yeah.
So these children are, you know, I think, and that's always the thing is that there is no question that children ideally should be with good biological family.
Not all biological families are good, though.
Exactly. And they don't always exist. And so where we come in as Hearts of Hope is we are the new family. And children are very astute and are very sensitive and are very wise. And, you know, people say, how could you keep going? It's 29 years now. It's because I learn from them every day.
Incredible. Well done
to you. Thank you. They teach us. And, you know, every day they come with new ways of doing things and new ways of looking at things. And having said that, every day one of them will take us right back to where we were 30 years ago, because what every child wants is to be loved and
what
to belong.
What every human wants is validation 100%. And love and just a safe place to lay your hat.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to go out and fight the battles in the world,
exactly.
But everybody needs a safe space.
Mm. Mm.
I want to go back again. Sorry, I've been listening very attentively to the volunteering. And just prior to coming on air, Deborah and I had a very interesting conversation about people that volunteer at child and youth centres, old age homes, and the like. And I'm going to throw back to you, Deborah, on the discussion we had with volunteers, because it's important. It's not so simple.
Yeah.
Because children do bond, and they want people in their lives, and they want to know people are there for the long run. And unfortunately, volunteers don't always stay for the long game.
So
I think the long game is probably one of the biggest values any volunteer could have. And the children that come into our home come in completely trustingly. So they will arrive in the back of a police van, having had the trauma of being removed from their families. And they crawl into your arms or jump into your arms and will perhaps be shy initially. Some will be mute for the first few days because of the shock and trauma of what they've been through. But once they realize that they are in a safe place and are loved by the amazing house moms that we have that are employed to look after the children, they completely expect that every person that we bring into their home is trustworthy, is going to look out for their best interests, is going to look after them, and unfortunately have the expectation that they're not going to leave. And so, you know, when people receive our volunteer guidelines, you know, they say, oh gosh, that's too onerous. And what I say to them is that our children don't have somewhere else to go. This is it. So they, if you come, even if you can only come and volunteer on the first Tuesday of a month for an hour and commit to that, that's fabulous. But be the commitment and don't promise them what you're not going to do or not going to deliver, because they're trusting us that you will be back.
There's so many moving parts in what you're doing, and they're moving parts around human beings. You're not talking about the house moms. Are these employees? Can they leave the job? Is it okay? And, you know, a mom isn't somebody who ever leaves the job. Ask any mom.
Yeah. 100%.
So how does that work?
So we have the most phenomenal house moms. We celebrated, 9 of our house moms celebrated their 10-year work anniversary. Wonderful. At the end of last year. So, and you know, so I'm always Magogo, I've got 30 years. So between us, you know, we have just over 100 years of service, which is a lot, in the care of these compromised and often very difficult children, challenging circumstances. Imagine looking after a newborn until they're 4 years old, and then they get adopted, which is amazing, and they leave and they go to Belgium, and you never hear from them again.
So a lot of our kids are going overseas.
Yeah.
That much I know.
Yeah. So being a house mom means you, whilst you also have your own family at home, they're employed to look after our children, and they work a 24/7 shift for 4 days, and then they have a break, and a new house mom will come into the house. And we try and have only 2 moms so that the children don't have too many changes. And they're absolutely phenomenal women. And to give you an idea, during COVID, because no one could leave, so I was the only one, together with my operations manager, coming in and out and getting medication and food, our staff lived on the premises for 6 months, never leaving, compromising potentially their own families and leaving them at home, and looked after our children.
Incredible.
So they really are the shoulders on which Hearts of Hope stands.
The pandemic really brought out the best in South Africans, hey?
It did.
Well, aside from when it didn't. Okay. If you've just joined me, my name is Kathy Kaler. This is the Dis-Chem Foundation Show. And this morning, we're talking about Hearts of Hope. If you've got any comments that you'd like to make, if you would like to join the conversation, perhaps you've got an insight, perhaps you've heard something that it's just speaking to you, or perhaps you are willing to be a long-term, play-the-long-game volunteer, you can get in touch, SMS SMS on WhatsApp, SMS the studio, and the number is 061-895-1019. Joining me this morning is Deborah Van Dongen, who is from Hearts of Hope, and Jacqueline Kahlberg, who is no stranger to High FM listeners. She's from the Dis-Chem Foundation, and every 2 weeks we get to see the world through her eyes. And it always leaves me very inspired. All right, we're going to take some ads, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about government involvement. We're going to talk about other elements of Hearts of Hope.
High FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're on 101.9 High FM. This is the Dis-Chem Foundation show. I get to do this. What a privilege it is to actually be able to do this. And joining me and showing us part of her world is Jacqueline Kahlberg. She is from the Dis-Chem Foundation. She is no stranger to you if you're a regular listener to High FM. Also this morning, we have a wonderful guest from Hearts of Hope, Deborah Van Dongen. Deborah it's a home. It's a home. Mm. I know you said it's an educational, child centre?
Child and youth care centre, but to us it's a home.
But a home is a home. It talks about warmth, it talks about acceptance, it talks about safe space, a place that you can just exhale, regroup, so that you can go and fight your battles outside. Okay, let's talk about some older kids. Firstly, I wanted to ask you about the adoption rate. Yeah, I can see. I'm watching your body.
Where to begin?
Yeah. So, I mean, you said, you know, you've got a young girl who's been with you for 12 years. She's 12 years old. She obviously came as a baby. Mm. How come she hasn't been adopted? Mm.
So adoption always requires that if possible, and there are known parents, that parents give consent to adoption. And in her case, this hasn't happened. And she's now really too old to be adopted. And she's also at the stage where, even though we try and keep the relationship with her family who live here in Johannesburg, one of connection, because that's really important. She doesn't want to now go back to her family, because Hearts of Hope is the only family she's ever known. And so children that are in care for a long time, eventually they become institutionalized is a very negative concept, but it really becomes their safe place and their home. And so what we try and do is
but
make
home
sure
should be safe space.
Exactly.
That's the most normal thing that you could do for these children, is offer them a safe space.
Yeah. So I think, you know, as Jacqueline will tell you, when the Dis-Chem Foundation has been to visit, the one thing we try to do is not be institutional. So we don't have big rooms with 12 bunk beds. The rooms are very personal. The children have their personal belongings. Every child is treated as an individual. Their own behavioral problems, psychological or social issues.
Do they have hobbies? Do they have their own hobbies?
They do. So we encourage sport hugely. Sport is important for us. We do swimming lessons for the children. Water safety for me is gold.
Skills, yes, life skills.
And they all have different things that they enjoy, like any children. You know, some are really good at sport and love it. Some nag me every day not to go to netball, but we encourage their team sport and learning how to work within a team. This little girl who really doesn't want to go to netball is brilliant academically, like shoot the lights out. She is only in grade 3, but 100% for everything. Uh-huh. And writes books. So we've kept all of her little books, and maybe one
That's
day
amazing.
She'll be a fabulous writer. Some that are great artists.
Great artists and great writers are never sociable. Ask Ernest Hemingway.
Exactly. Some brilliant at dancing and music.
Yes.
Some two-year-olds are brilliant at fraying our nerves, and hopefully they'll grow out of it.
and then you've got your teenagers.
So our oldest is 12, yes. So she's our tween at the moment. So generally, you asked about adoption. Ideally, what we don't want is we don't want children institutionalized. We, as good as we are, family is still better. So that's still the goal. That children leave us to be reunited with extended family if that's possible, alternatively adopted. Foster care, I think, has its place, and there's some children that will do better in foster care versus in an organization with where you've got a house of seven children. Some will just cope better in a family with two children. But social workers are in such short supply that monitoring foster care becomes very challenging. Fortunately, we don't do that. We only look after the children within Hearts of Hope. And we focus on that, and external social workers do the adoption and foster care reunification processes.
I suppose as you're speaking, I'm realizing that as family circumstances change, it does enable the possibility for rehabilitation of
Absolutely.
A family, which would be first prize.
Yeah.
If circumstances have changed.
Yes. We have come across very, very few moms that don't want their children. For most of them, it's heartbreaking to give them up.
You know what? Even adoptive moms want those children. Mm. They gave them a chance.
Mm, exactly.
Right. Mm. I think it's really amazing. Mm. Where's the government in all of this? Is the government involved? Like, what is the status of the Department of Social Development? Social
Development. Yes. Yeah. So all child and youth care centres have to be registered by the Department of Social Development. And that has all sorts of very stringent and much needed compliance requirements. And those registrations then enable you to have children placed with you by the children's court. So without that registration, you can't receive children. So all the children that are with us are placed with Hearts of Hope as the Child and Youth Care Centre. And that was important for us when we started, because we didn't want children to be placed in my name, for example, or in the name of one of our house moms, because if something happens to them, then those six children are at risk. So they are in a safe place. They belong to Hearts of Hope legally. They have an identity with Hearts of Hope and legal standing within Hearts of Hope, which for us was really important. So social development, currently we are very fortunate to get 30% of our funding from them. And the one thing they've been very good at is making sure that the compliance is in place.
Compliance is a gift, right?
It's huge.
Is it not a
it's
massive
huge.
Gift?
Yeah.
I learned that from radio.
Yeah.
Like, you love compliance.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, I think for me, having all the compliance standards in place means that Dis-Chem Foundation can come to us and say, okay, we need XYZ, and we've got it.
Yes.
And they can be assured that not only do they have to audit us and check us and make sure that we're doing what we should be doing, but that government is checking us. So
I love the responsibility and accountability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Health Department checks on us, Social Development checks on us, and Social Development has different areas. So it's the monitoring officials on the finance side, on the court order side, on the operational side, and so there are audits continuously, which is exhausting when you're just trying to keep children alive and educated.
Yes.
But very much needed.
What's the hardest part of your job?
Saying no when I don't have space.
And how often do you have to say that?
About six times a week.
Sure, that's difficult, eh? What would change that?
So probably finances. Money is always a challenge, and post-COVID, the ability to fundraise has got increasingly difficult because South Africans are under the whip. Things are very tough and very tight, and we have amazing individuals and amazing corporates that do support us and do fund us. And for example, the Dis-Chem Foundation, through the pharmacies, we receive a monthly allowance that allows us to buy our preventative medication.
I hadn't even considered that.
Yeah.
Some of these kids are going to need
all
that.
They're all immune compromised.
Yes.
Yeah. So multivitamins, even though they're getting a good diet.
Immune compromised. And think of like a two-year-old. Your average two-year-old has got this green coming out of its nose.
All the time.
Exactly.
Now multiply that by 52.
That
will then have green noses.
Yes, thank you, Dis-Chem.
And that's huge. When we don't have nappies or donations of nappies, then we get them from Dis-Chem, and that's been a lifesaver for us.
That's a big safety net to have, hey?
Huge.
But are people like myself able to, you know, donate to you directly?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And we could donate milk formula or whatever. Do you have a wish list on your website?
So we do. And what I've learned about donations is it works best when you have what you have in your cupboard. You know, if you haven't had babies for 20 years, to now go to Disc Him, there's 40,000 options of nappies and
retwipes. I'm learning about nappies. Disc Him have got very good nappies. They are baby things nappies,
yes,
correct?
Correct.
That are unbelievable. Yep. Yes.
The whole baby things range is phenomenal. Yeah. It's our
from
private
baby
label.
City, yes.
From Disc Him and Disc Him Baby City, yes. Correct.
Yeah. Amazing. Now, I learned about that.
We're like a baby things advert.
But they're amazing. Yeah. You know, yeah. And to, yeah, it's just wonderful.
So, okay. You know, I think often people think, well, what can I do? I can't look after 52 children, and I certainly wouldn't encourage you to do so. But, you know, every bottle of dish liquid that you add to your trolley that you give to us means that that's dish liquid for 2 weeks in the house that we don't have to buy. And so it's all about the sum of the whole, that every single individual, every single dish liquid, every single toothpaste. I mean, it's amazing how much toothpaste 52 children go through.
Yes.
You know, delicious things like toilet paper. it's a lot. So everything really makes a huge difference.
Yes. Yeah. Do they have pets? Do you have
pets?
Unfortunately,
the health department doesn't allow us to have pets, but we do have an amazing volunteer who brings her golden retriever to visit the children.
Oh,
and that's fabulous, so that the children get to know that dogs are not scary.
Yes.
And to love and cuddle a pet is just a gift. And we have quite a few stray feral cats. But they run from the children.
Good luck to the department trying to catch those. So do you find them generally supportive, the department?
So look, I think the thing is that the department is always under pressure from government to reach targets and reach milestones and their limited budgets. The reality is that we both need each other.
Yeah.
They need a place, a safe place for children, and a good safe place for children who will educate the children as well as just look after them. And that's what we do differently. We don't just, it's not just a roof over your head and bread and milk on the table.
Sure.
It's an individualized, personalized focus of care. And we need the Department of Social Development for their funding and for the compliance and the registration. So we work through the relationship, and I think mutual respect is what ensures that the relationship is successful.
Deborah, you said what the worst element of your job is. What's the best?
I think being able to see the complete transformation in children in just a few days of being loved. It's incredible what love does.
That is amazing. All right, Jacqueline, I need you to talk for a while. while Deborah and I are kind of like dry the tears. It's just been very emotional. This.
Yeah, it's a tough one today. Compliance is hugely important across all organizations. And while there are so many people that do want to do good and are trying, but they're not going through the correct processes that they need to, or not all their processes are correctly in place. And compliance is vital because, you know...
Accountability.
Accountability, compliance, there's a whole lot of it. There's a woman who's trying to do phenomenal things, but she's just not compliant. And I unfortunately cannot get involved with that. The Disc Him Foundation and Disc Him can't. We as Deborah pointed out so correctly, we're answerable to our loyal customers,
yeah,
to our boards, to our our shareholders, to our committees that we report to, and more than anything, we're responsible to the organizations that we support to ensure that they are all getting the best possible care, irrespective of the type of organization that we are supporting. It's vital.
What is your best element of Hearts of Hope? that talks to you personally, Jax?
I'm just a big kid, so I love to go there, and then I get to play with them in a wonderful environment, yeah. And you know, pick them up and do aeroplanes. And I missed half of the last time we spent with them, and we had Colgate there with Mr. Colgate Bunny, and you know, the kids, they get so involved and they sing, and they, you know, it's wonderful. They all know their song to wash their hands and brush their teeth, and it's just interacting. My best is wherever I go, I like to interact.
Now, there's a Jewish concept that when you save a life, you save a universe.
Mm. Correct.
I see it.
Deborah saved a few universes, I think.
I think Diskem Foundation has too.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no question in my mind about that. Mm. And that is how we get to 9 o'clock. We've got to wrap up. But thank you very, very much to both of you. Deborah van Dongen from Hearts of Hope, thank you very much for coming in today and for sharing your world with me, with my listeners. And Jacqueline, you are just a legend, lady. You and Lynette Saltzman, really, just onward and upward, and just keep doing the fantastic work that you do. And to you, my beloved, best beloved listener, please continue to support Diskem Foundation. How do you do it? Every time you go to Diskem, go and swipe your better rewards. Let me tell you something. Appliances, whatever you need, go and check that if Diskem has got it. If they've got it, know that you're going to get it. They're going to reward you for doing it, and you're also going to be supporting the foundation. That is my philosophy. Thank you for letting me share it with you. Have a fantastic, fantastic week. Anything that you want to say to wrap up, Deb?
So just thank you so much for having us, and for everybody out there who's listening. Anything you do makes an impact. Don't think that what you give or what you say, we covered prayers for the children. It's a big contribution.
Thank you so much. Thanks for doing what you do. Jacqueline, any wrapping up words?
Just the usual. Thank you to all our Better Rewards customers. Every time you swipe, we're contributing to a wonderful organization like Hearts of Hope and so very many others. Thank you.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Thank you for having us again, Kathy.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And to you, I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week. I'll be back next week. And to you, Craig, our engineer, Craig Guthrie, thank you so much. To you, God bless. Have a wonderful week. Bye.